And there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Amen? Mark had a good dad joke yesterday at the men's meeting. He asked us, why can't Jesus wear jewelry? Because he breaks every chain. That was pretty good, I thought, so I just wanted to share that with you guys as well here, since there's many guys here who weren't with us yesterday, or a few of you guys. But this morning, never separated from his love, never separated from the love of Jesus Christ, I want to preach to you guys about God's grace, his mercy, his everlasting love. Does that sound good? Yeah, all right. I want to look at an incident involving Simon Peter, the apostle. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 22. And we're going to dive right in with scripture here, verses 31 to 34. I have it on the screen as well if you didn't bring your Bibles, which you should. If you have a smartphone, you have no excuse because there's apps for Bibles, so you should have your Bible on your phone. So let's turn together to Luke 22, verses 31 to 34. It says, Simon, Simon, behold, this is Jesus talking, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. Now, this happened after the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. And here we have Jesus telling Peter that you will deny me. Not once, not twice, but three times. And Luke records a different part of this conversation between Jesus and Peter than the other gospel authors do. Jesus actually tells Peter that Satan wants to sift him like wheat, meaning to shake him violently. If you know what sifting wheat is, you're shaking the wheat to separate, to destroy it, basically, to take it apart. And this is what Satan wants to do to Peter. He wants to see Peter fall. And in this case, Peter's panic drives him to deny Jesus Christ three times. But Peter's reply is bold, as often Peter is bold guy, right? He says, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison or even to death. When I was a boy, about 10 years old, I gave my life to Jesus Christ at a summer camp. I would dream up these situations. I don't know if you guys did this too. I'd dream up these situations where my faith would be tested. And I'd be in this situation where someone was telling me, deny Christ or die. And, you know, as a boy's imagination, you can only think of different scenarios, you know, on your knees with a guy, gun to your head or something like this. And I often dreamed that, man, I'd be so bold, I'd never deny Jesus Christ. Never. Any of you guys have this kind of... Okay, I'm not the only one. All right. So we can relate with Peter here then, right? Saying, Lord, I would never deny you, no matter the situation that I'd be in. I'd go with you anywhere, even to death. I would never deny you. But Jesus tells him, Peter, you're wrong. You'll not only deny me once, but three times before the rooster crows. Man, what was Peter thinking at this moment? He probably was thinking, no way. There is no way. I'm too strong to deny Jesus Christ. I'll never do it. But then we read about Peter's denial in Luke 22, verses 54 to 62. Let's read it. Then they seized him, Jesus, and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, this man was with him. But he denied it, saying, Woman, I do not know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, You also are one of them. But Peter said, Man, I am not. And after an interval, about an hour, still another insisted, saying, Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, Man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Peter followed Jesus after he was arrested to the high priest Caiaphas's house, sat in the courtyard where they kindled a fire, and Peter sat there among these people. Now that's brave. That's brave on Peter's part. He's in this hostile environment, and he had that he could be identified and be in a lot of trouble. But that's when Peter's courage gives out, when somebody does identify him as one of Jesus' disciples, first this servant girl, and then others. So Peter's courage failed him each time he was accused of being one of Christ's own. And on the third denial, immediately the rooster crows. And we read Jesus turns and looks right at Peter. Could you imagine that? What moment the Son of God, his Lord and Savior, who he said he'd never deny, looks at him, makes eye contact, knowing that he had just denied him? What a moment that must have been. How brutal Peter must have felt. We read that Peter went off out of that area and wept bitterly. Has anyone ever experienced bitter weeping in their life? What that's like? He must have felt like an absolute failure. Knowing exactly that Jesus knew exactly what he had done. He had just openly denied the Messiah, the Son of God. What a truly bitter moment that must have been for Peter. He must have thought, what have I done? I could never face them again. How can I face the other disciples, my friends? How can I go back and undo what I have done? Surely all hope is lost. I didn't even dare dream of these things happening to me as a little boy, of denying Jesus Christ. Thankfully, I've never faced a situation of being my life threatened and to deny Christ. But I can only imagine what Peter felt. But the story's not over. Hope is not lost. Let's remember what Jesus said to Peter in verse 32. Jesus said, But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. What an encouragement that is, that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, the Son of God, prayed for Peter. And you know what? Jesus Christ is alive. He's at the right hand of God right now, interceding in prayer on your behalf and on my behalf as well. He is praying that our faith may not fail. How awesome is that? How powerful is that? Yes, Peter's faith had failed, but not completely. Jesus prayed for Peter that his faith would not fail him completely, and that's exactly what happened. Peter's bitter weeping shows that he was sorry for what he had done. He was remorseful, regretting his actions. And it's the second part of the verse that we need to pay attention to now. Jesus said, when you have turned again, And the Greek word here for turning is epistrepho, which means to turn around, go back, to return. And it's often used in the context of repentance. Repenting, to turn away from your sin and going in a different direction. Turning back to God, returning to God. In other words, Jesus was saying to Peter, even though your faith will fail you, Peter, it will not fail completely. I am faithful to you, Peter, because I know your heart. That's what Christ is saying. And when you are sorry, having repented, turn back to me. Go and strengthen your brothers. What grace! What profound grace! What love Jesus demonstrates towards Peter. And this is the same grace, the same love that Jesus has for you and I. Peter did not find out the extent of grace and love that Christ has for him until after Jesus rose from the grave, after his resurrection. Peter had at least 3 to 4 days until he saw Jesus to really understand that grace. Let's read about Jesus and Peter coming face to face and having a conversation in John 21, verses 15 to 19. But here's a setting. After Jesus' resurrection, it's the crack of dawn, and the disciples are out fishing on their boat, and Jesus comes to the shore, and the disciples can't see that it's Jesus. And Jesus calls out to the disciples, asking, "Catch any fish yet?" The disciples reply, "No." Then Jesus tells them to let down their nets on the right side of the boat and that they will catch some. Sound familiar? When Jesus first met them to call them to be his disciples. Same scenario, right? And they did as they were told and put the nets down. They filled up so much that they had trouble hauling it into the boat again. And that's when they say, "Hey, it's our Lord and Savior on the shore over there. It's Jesus." And Peter puts on more clothes, jumps out of the boat, swims to the shore to see Jesus. And Jesus has cooked some breakfast there for them. And then Jesus takes Peter aside to speak with him. And this is what we read. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Wow, what a moment for Peter. What a moment for Peter. Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. And Jesus asks him 3 times to reaffirm his love to him. How awesome is that? Praise the Lord. Peter shows that he truly understands just who Jesus is. "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Peter understands that Jesus is all-knowing, all-powerful, the Son of the living God, the Messiah. And at the end of the conversation, Jesus says to him, "Follow me. Follow me." What awesome words that must have been for Peter to hear after denying him 3 times, that Jesus still calls him to follow him, that he is forgiven, that there is grace for him, that there is love for him, that there's a calling on his life, that Jesus still wants him to be his disciple. You see, we fall short of the standard so many times. We sin, we do wrong. Our faith fails us at times, but not completely. Amen? Not completely because of God's grace, because of his mercy, because of his love. He is always faithful, even when we're not. When we fall, sin, we need to follow what Peter did. To be sorry, to repent, to turn back to God, to follow him. I remember for 10 years when I was not following the Lord, living according to my own pleasures, sin, God put his finger on me. And I felt the conviction of sin, my sin upon me. And truly, it was a bitter moment. And it was a moment of repenting. And there are moments of those in our lives where we do just are under such conviction of our sins. But we know that we can repent and turn to God and ask for forgiveness, be it 3 times or 77 times. God's grace is there. His forgiveness is there. His love is there. Just listen to these verses. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Romans 8:1-2. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. That's eternal distance. Micah 7:18-19, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Amen. Amen. His grace is amazing. His grace is sufficient. He will forgive you no matter what you have done and how many times you have done it, as long as you are repentant, truly repentant. Romans 5:20 says, but where sin increases, grace increases the more. Can you believe that? Where sin increases, grace increases all the more. Now, of course, Paul says, should we go on sinning then that grace may increase? He says, by no means, because we have died to sin and are alive in Christ. We don't abuse that grace. But when we do sin, we know that grace is there to catch us and forgiveness is there for us in Jesus Christ. As long as you're truly repentant, desire to stop sinning, and love him from all your heart and confess him as your Lord and Savior, there is forgiveness. God used Peter, a regular fisherman, a man far from perfect, who denied him not once but 3 times, and he used him in a mighty way to build his church. An imperfect man, an imperfect person. God can use anyone. And he does use us. We just need to submit to him. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. There is freedom in Jesus. He breaks every chain. He breaks every addiction. He restores us. He brings us out of the sin that binds us and tangles us. There is true freedom in Jesus Christ. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery, which is sin." Amen. So if there's someone here today who is battling addiction, a habitual sin, come to Christ and confess it and allow Him to deliver you from it, to break every chain, to set you free. You see, the enemy, Satan, wants to accuse you. He wants to keep you under the thumb and the power of sin and death and keep you in that guilty place. But we need to know and have faith that you are set free in Jesus Christ and rise above it and live in that freedom and newness of Jesus Christ. Final verse. There is nothing that can separate us from Jesus' love. Romans 8:35-39 writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen." Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. He made sure of it so much that He gave His life for us. His blood cleanses us daily. You see, repentance isn't just a single action, but it's a daily, it is a way of living in repentance and in forgiveness. The power in the blood of Jesus Christ is continually cleansing us. But it's a matter of the heart to walk humbly and repentant with our Savior. As we come to the communion table, search your heart. Search your heart. Is there unrepentant sin that you need to confess? Is there something in your life that you have compromised with? That you're justifying living in sin? You need to stop doing that and bring it to God in repentance. Can I ask our elders who are present here to come on up here to help with the table? And before we go to the table, we're going to take a moment and just search our hearts in prayer. So let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. We're going to take a moment of silence to search our hearts and confess any sin before our Lord and Savior.